Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
Welcome back. So later on this hour, we'll have Gary Ringrose in conversation with myself yesterday afternoon. We have a football show with Kenny Cunningham and Dan and I watching the Champions League action. Spurs 0, Dortmund 0 at Wembley. They are 2 minutes into that game. And also nil all between Ajax and Real Madrid. For the time being, though, we're turning to GAA. Today, Jamie Clark is helping to launch the 2019 GAA range of Body Bro, the high-performance sportswear. Body Bro specialises in personalised orders of training and matchday gear for clubs, teams and colleges across Ireland. And to find out more, you can visit bodybro.ie, as in bodibro.ie. Jamie Clark, you're very welcome.
Hey, Joe.
Good to have you back.
Good.
Last time you were in this building was somewhere around 2017.
17, yeah.
So, short version here, debut in 2010, a season out in 2016, spent in New York largely, back for 2017, a quarterfinal against Tyrone. And then last year, largely New York again. You played for New York against Leitrim. A lot of people would have seen that. Yeah. That is the very, very broad Armagh version of your career at the moment.
Yeah, I think it was 8 years in total now.
Yeah.
Minus the two out. But
you feeling old?
No, not at all. I feel great, to be honest. Again, I was just refreshed and revitalized coming back again with I just feel like I'm back. It's like my first year in the team again, you know, which is great. I suppose there's that edge. I have that edge to always want to push on and
yeah,
you know, get back to where I was, you know.
What age are you now?
29, yeah.
Okay.
You know something, I don't look at it like that at all. I just take each day as it comes, and you know, it could be 33, it could be 36, 30, you know, it's Michael Jordan said he was going to play till he was 50, didn't he?
He still talks like he wants to play.
Yeah.
So you've returned two games, or three games Armagh have played so far, two draws, one defeat. You were sent off in the Clare game.
Clare, yeah.
Yeah, so a draw against Kildare, second game was against Clare, and then Meath followed. So you're back, you're playing, you're here, certainly for this year anyway.
Yeah, again, once I committed at the start of the year, we had a really good pre-season, to be fair, and boys worked very hard, and I think the McKenna Cup was pretty good, and I suppose there was a step up of coming into the league. The Kildare game we let slip, same with Clare, and at the weekend, obviously I was out, but again, we're doing a lot of the things right, but I suppose these mistakes that we are making are the ones that we're making at training, you know what I mean? So
right.
It's carrying over, so it's just about adjusting, but I think we're doing a lot of our things right, and again, it's just about being more ruthless and more clinical come game day.
And you're appealing your red card, are you?
Oh, I appealed it. I didn't get off, so I'd missed the Meath game. It is what it is. I thought it was soft enough at the time, but
Kieran McGeaney said there was contact with the chest, and for various reasons, the referee thought the contact was made with the head.
Yeah, listen, I wouldn't ever, you know, go at a player or go at a team for feigning injuries or anything like that. But I think, yeah, it was from our point of view, it was a bit of a shock at the time. You know, I suppose it's part of the game where, you know, the arms maybe go up a bit, but again, it's just moving forward. It's about keeping them down.
Yeah, well, it's a lesson learned, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
if you make contact with someone's chest, the way the game is now.
Yeah.
You can't be absolutely shocked if they go down holding their head.
Yeah, I get that, and I understand, you know, teams going out of their way to win games, but I don't think it's something that I'm going to adapt or, you know, despite, you know, you can call it, maybe, I don't know, you call it naive, but I just think there's something about, even about Gaelic and the way it's played and the history of it and the culture, you know, you kind of just want to, you know, I was always a big believer of the physical contact of the game and it being a physical sport. So, you know, I get a lot of it. So it's, yeah, I don't mind. It's just part of the game.
And were you livid when you saw a person go down holding their head?
I think it was just more, oh, shit, I'm letting the boys down here. You know, one of those moments where, You know, and again, it goes back to, I suppose, the amount of training you put in and how little games there are. And it's like, you know, that there's only so few games, so you kind of want to play every game. And ultimately, if, you know, we dug it out, but if we had the 15 on the field, you know, we probably would have won on the day. But these things happen in sports. It's better, I suppose, doing it now and learning it moving forward into the summer.
When did you arrive back home from New York?
September.
Okay.
End of September. So I trained for a few weeks on my own. So I was in good enough shape coming back in with the boys. And yeah, it had been tough now. It had been a tough pre-season, but very enjoyable, I suppose, is the main thing. Boys getting on great together. And I suppose we spend most of the week together as well. So it's going from family to your best mates and your teammates, which is great, you know.
Yeah. I had got the real sense from you in 2017 when you were in here and you were having that very good season that you wanted to almost stay and really build an Armagh career and have 5, 6, 7, 8 really good years.
Yeah.
I was quite surprised then actually when I saw that you headed off to New York. So were you having misgivings or doubts even as you were saying that in studio, or did come later?
I think, I suppose that's why I maybe pushed the media off for a bit. It was kind of one of those things where post 2017 season, like I knew I was going before that, and I think when I did return, maybe wasn't ready off the pitch, that is. So just my own personal space and getting things right career wise, and just ultimately being happy. You know, I think maybe we've all probably been a wee bit too shy in saying that, and I suppose it's getting those things lined up as well outside of football.
So expand on that for a second. You have this year in New York in 2016.
Yeah.
An enjoyable year, a good year.
Yeah.
You're trying to get your career in a place.
There was, yeah, exactly. So there was always the passion with the football. Like that was never an issue. That was never in doubt. It was just trying to get something
else
that was right for me and so I could do the right thing.
And it was fashion, wasn't it?
It was. And again, the grass is always greener, so I'm in New York and I don't have the football, so it's something had to give. And I think ultimately it was just about finding that balance.
So when you came home from New York in 2016, had you got your career to a point where it was good, or did you come home from New York in 2016?
It could have been grand, but you know, I'm not comfortable with grand, if you know what I mean.
Sure.
And
so where were you in terms of the fashion world or trying to make it?
I was at an internship level, but again, it was ultimately trying to even figure out what I wanted to do
within fashion.
Exactly. Right. Whether it was styling, and I was looking at masters in fashion buying, and ultimately I came to the decision where I want to do my own thing.
And when you came home and had this very good year on the field for Armagh across 2017, was there much going on for you off the pitch?
Well, there were bits and pieces going on and things going on, and I was with the bank at the time.
But that's not what you want to do.
Exactly. It was kind of just like,
I need a job if I'm going to be
exactly,
home.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay. You're not the first or last GAA player who's here for the football and just doing a job to tick the box.
Okay. I think maybe the football, and when things are going well, covers that up. And you're at such a high. So post-Tyrone was just like, quarterfinal, the All-Ireland, you know, beat well by your big rivals, and it was just a complete, you know,
the arse falls out of it.
Yeah, exactly.
So that was a great summer. I remember talking to you, and it was a very sunny summer.
Yeah, that's right.
And there was great games. Did you play Tipperary that year?
We played Tip, then we played Kildare, Tyrone. Yeah.
You got a great goal in one of those games as well.
Yeah.
So it was. I mean, there was a sense of momentum.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
Vibrancy to your summer.
Yeah, I think it was one of those things where it was a fulfillment, personally. You know, where I was starting to make it happen because, at that level, you know,
people were saying this is the Clark delivering on his potential.
Exactly. I think there was all the talk around that time. And
so, what's life in the bank like?
Listen, it was. You learned a lot, you know, about the corporate world when I was there. It was a great experience, but again, ultimately it wasn't for me.
And you know that I'm not going to be here in 20 years.
Yeah, and I think I didn't want to
risk that?
It wasn't so much risk it. It was kind of, I didn't want to let the people down when I was working. Maybe you can end up doing that by taking these things on. And I think it was
as in they're investing their time in you.
Exactly.
And
exactly,
you're going to turn around in 5 years and say,
exactly,
I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. And so we're like, are you up in your bedroom after work of a given night when you have a spare few minutes, still reading up on fashion and sketching out your own designs, and that's still occupying a lot of your thinking space, or have you tried to park all that?
No, that's a huge part of it now. So it's, I think it's well underway at the minute with the brand.
Your own brand?
Yeah. I'm actually working with a guy at the minute, an independent store. He's his own store in Dundalk, Pinstripe Punk it's called.
Right.
And we just returned from London there, so we were on a buying trip in London, which was great exposure.
So you're buying materials?
Buying brands for his independent store.
Okay.
Yeah, so both of us are kind of merging together now to develop our own premium menswear brand.
Right, okay.
So it's exciting. And
so when you say developing your own menswear brand, you're effectively designing...
Making clothes, yeah.
Premium clothes.
Yeah.
Okay. And what's the market like in Ireland? Is that flooded, saturated?
It's not. You know, I suppose, even stepping back from fashion, I think a lot of people, you know, over the last couple of years are going that independent route and going the entrepreneurial route. But again, it's about, well, I always found it was about that passion. So whether it's a kind of, we want to, you know, through the brand, I want to showcase nearly who we are and the lifestyle we kind of live, you know. So hopefully we can showcase it through the fashion label. And, you know, the coffee could come into it at some stage, you know what I mean? So it's about that, leaving that door open for those sort of things.
Well, I was just reading the other day, the coffee culture in this country has gone off the charts. There's an unbelievable shortage of baristas.
Yeah.
I wish I had the piece to hand. I literally read it just the other day. It was like, I think it's gone up like 200-300% or something in the last 12 months even.
I thought
2 years ago
we're
reaching a point where there's not room for any more coffee shops, and it just keeps on happening.
Well, I think once the new one, it's like the snowball, it's the exclusivity of it where people are looking the next thing, like the next Instagram photo or, you know what I mean? Like, so it's, but yeah, listen, it's not a bad thing either, you know, people
it's
are
great.
Writing about
it. I think it looks better than all of us sitting in a dark pub.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
So, I mean, like, perfect world down the line, you might have your own space, which is a place you go and hang out and have some coffee, and there's fashion, and who knows where it goes, or have you got a fairly
Well, ultimately, it's going to be online. We're going to have an online presence. So, obviously, kind of Ireland being our base, and kind of branching out there to Europe and just maximising the contacts, be abroad and across the water, you know.
And when's all this likely to reach our consciousness?
Well, we're looking at autumn winter at the minute for our first collection, which will be our staple pieces. It's exciting, you know. It's
But this seems like this is what you've been working towards.
Exactly, and I think it's, again, that's why I don't regret even going away last year, because you learn a lot about yourself, you know. You know, it's not all bright lights. There are moments where you maybe question what's going on here and what am I doing here. But
cities are lonely places as well.
Yeah, well, exactly. So the likes of humility and, you know, maybe understanding what's most important to you, stuff like that, that kind of really, really sets in that maybe might take more time for me than it takes for somebody else, you know. So, because everybody's different.
Sure.
Everyone's different.
And in the midst of all that, were you interning again at a fashion place in New York last year, or what were you doing?
Yeah, I was, and I was working in the bar as well, which was grand. You know, you'd be surprised the people you meet through a network. So the networking was great, you know, over there as well. But again, like most Irish people that go over there, I kind of just live the same lifestyle where you're working in the bar and trying to make something of yourself as well. So
this is obviously like a passion, clearly, and so is this the kind of thing where you might be the starving artist and you're going to do something you love, or is there a businessman inside you who also wants to make a bit of money at his thing and this thing to flourish and do really well?
Yeah, I think I want to, it's both, so it's kind of like a case of by doing something you love and being passionate, I think it will allow for that to happen naturally. Obviously with the business brain on, you know what I mean?
You've had to go out and get funding and put this whole thing together, I presume.
Well, exactly, and I think this is why I want it to be right. So it's even that's why it's maybe taking me this length of time. So like so many people can jump into things 21, 22, and like don't get me wrong, through my 20s I failed at a lot of things, and I think maybe that has led me to where I'm at now. You know, the whole thing might go
up.
Exactly, but it's
there's a pressure when you've got other people's money.
Exactly.
As well,
I think
presume.
So. Yeah. But I think it's going in the right direction for me anyway. I don't have that maybe doubt, you know, or that kind of that worry about that sort of thing because I just feel that I'm doing the right thing.
And are you hanging around Dublin at the moment? Are you full time working at this?
I'm based in the dock in the independent
that
store.
Shop, yeah.
But I try and get up as much as I can. With mates up here as well, which is great. So.
And have you got all your main pieces ready to launch, or are you still working on them?
No, we have. We're collecting samples at the minute, so we've got a couple of samples out. A few tweaks we need to make on them, but. Look, it's about getting it right.
Yeah.
It's about getting the product right, and you know, even if it takes beyond Christmas to get it right, I think that's because it's our staple piece, so it's not going to be.
Will you get one chance to make a first impression as well?
Exactly. Yeah. You know?
Don't bring back boot cuts. That's all I'm asking you.
Yeah.
You can do what you want. I just don't want boot cuts.
They're coming back themselves.
I'm seeing them. I can't believe this is happening. Yeah. Have we forgotten? You know, you're soaked. Boot cuts, walking in the rain.
Oh, I know.
Cut to pieces.
Yeah. Cut them off at the bottom.
No, they still seem to get cut. So, what kind of... This is where I'm out of my depth, okay? What kind of clothes... It's a very broad question. Do you like...
Well,
what are we talking about?
Yeah, so we kind of... I don't want to give too much away here.
Oh, fair enough, okay. We'll have you back and you can come in studio and show us what you got and we'll try.
Well, I think it's about, like I said, showcasing who we are as people, but I'm a big fan of kind of the natural classic keep it simple style, so a classic wardrobe with a contemporary touch with it.
Okay.
You know, again, like there's a lot of Scandi brands out there, Scandinavian brands that are very simplistic, very clean, you know, and maybe it's about me having gone away to New York, Paris, Melbourne, and putting it all together and giving back to what people want here. And I just feel that there's a premium market here for that.
Okay, good. Well, come back in when this all launches and
talk
to us about it. Is the passion and the excitement of having a football in your hands and trying to do something fun and expressive on a pitch still there?
Unbelievable, yeah. And I don't think that will ever go. And I think it'll always be part of who I am, you know. It's great, Joe, just even being back with the lads and being part of, I don't think we've ever been closer and been part of, like, I suppose having been away, you know, probably a lot of boys ask themselves questions, you know, and even just chatting to them and stuff like that, you know, they stepped up a lot too, you know, there's several of the lads there that really, you know, pushed the thing on and, you know, really set out a plan for Armagh and where they want to take Armagh. You know, and they deserve a lot of credit for that because, you know, like myself and Stefan come back this year, you know, we mightn't have been there for them. And so they were kind of planning. But I suppose us back now as well, we can step up as well. And, you know, we've a lot of young talent coming through.
So I was reading that there's been great work done and the generation of 02
have
across the board put in a lot of hours and there's been, you know, a group which were worked on from even under 12s, under 14s, right the way through, or starting to come through now at senior levels.
Well, exactly. And I think that's the thing about Armagh and Armagh football, that people love it. And I suppose those guys in 02 created that kind of aura about the place. And you know, I think even between the public and the media, Armagh are always here, you know what I mean? And people are kind of waiting for something to happen with them. And I suppose that being part of it hasn't. and our job is to make it happen.
Because on the outside, McGeaney is obviously getting criticism. You know, they haven't won a game in Ulster and all this kind of stuff is thrown at him. So it's interesting you say we feel closer and things feel really good. Because you could, if you didn't have all the information and you weren't part of the camp, from afar you could spin the narrative that this thing is drifting away, it's about to fall apart. He's coming to the end of, you know, 5, 6, 7 years. How long can he stay there? Seeing that, you know, that kind of mumbling is what's been said.
But what people don't realise probably is that Kieran's thinking of longevity as well, you know. He's trying to set things in place, not just go in to win maybe 1 year and then the whole thing fall apart. He's trying to get a consistent level throughout the board, whether it's a, you know, even at a board level.
Right.
Like it's nearly like making sure that everything's done
the right way.
Exactly.
Because we had him at a roadshow last year, pre All Ireland one. Jim McGuinness was there, and James Horn, and he was there, and geez, he's impressive. Like, he's very personable.
Yeah.
There's a dry wit there as well, and he's a deep, deep thinker about the game.
Exactly, yeah.
Thinks analytically about the game. He's a serious person.
I think innovative is probably the best way to describe it.
There was a moment where him and McGuinness and Horan started talking tactics.
Yeah.
And you got a real glimpse of him countering a few things McGuinness was saying. And he was a few steps along in the argument, you know.
Well, even I watched it and you could even feel watching it that there's a bit of like
creative tension.
Yeah, exactly. So, which is good, you know.
He's going to out-tactic each other. Yeah. But you know, McGeaney was not just a Asher, whatever, players
exactly.
play. He was thinking about it.
Yeah, exactly. And again, I think that comes down to being passionate about what he's doing.
Can you give us a sense tactically in broad terms? Obviously, you don't betray secrets. What are Armagh about here? Like in terms of the football brand that you're trying to play? And I appreciate on certain days you will go out and it will look hideous because things don't work. But in an ideal world, if Armagh are humming,
if you look at some of the smaller teams, like, you know, I think we were all given out a couple of years ago about lesser teams not being able to compete, but they're adapting to systems now, which is allowing them to develop, you know. And you know, this I don't really mind as long as the sport's evolving all the time. But from an Armagh point of view, we always had our belief that we are footballers, and we were, you know what I mean? Coming right through, we always were big into kicking the ball, and like we have the skilled players. So again, it's just about maximising our game plan to suit our team, and you know, that just happens to be kicking the ball and playing football at speed, and no different than the likes of, I don't know, Kerry, Dublin. Like, teams try and play the game the right way, and I think, you know, there's something about that. I don't know whether it's the way maybe Johan Cruyff at Barcelona, it's that kind of mentality that, you know, there's a better satisfaction, even with the club across McGlen, there's a better satisfaction of doing things and especially when you win and doing it the right way, you know.
Because I don't see Armagh enough, you know, it's hard to watch everything in this job, but there was certainly talk of an issue with McGeaney and the Cross McGlen players.
Yeah.
And like the line was put out there that the Cross McGlen way was not being allowed express itself in the defensive Armagh setup, and that was why you had stepped away and others had stepped away.
That's nonsense.
You heard that?
Yeah, it's nonsense.
Is it?
Yeah, because we were never really defensive. We were maybe adapting to the way certain teams were playing, but you know, like if you look at the quarterfinal, we probably adapted to Tyrone and it didn't suit us at all, you know what I mean? So, and that's what happens. The likes of that stuff, it's all, you know, and I can honestly say that Kieran would always like be hands on with the Cross lads, and like if you ask most of the Cross boys that are there now, all of them actually, they all love Kieran and love working on them. So I think the big thing is the ones that wanted to be there will be there, you know.
Yeah. And is football in the dire straits we all fear it is? I mean, there was Kerry Dublin the other week, which had a bit of vigour about it and kind of more of what we wanted to see. So where are we? What's the landscape out there?
Is it? I've been away, so it. 2017, I didn't think was bad, was it?
No, last year was tough. I think last year there was the added issue of Mayo not even making the Super 8s, Kerry effectively being out of the Super 8s early on, and this inevitability about Dublin's win. And you're like, the, you know, Tyrone, like, they just cut through. Just, it was never a game. Like, yeah, Tyrone never went for it. And then in the semi-final, Galway didn't go for it either, defensive. And it was just this sense of, ugh.
Yeah, it was one of those years.
Yeah, that added, I think, to the sense of dismay. Like, if you'd had a very similar season and it had culminated in another Mayo-Dublin extravaganza, maybe people wouldn't have had that last year.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, recency bias, the final can dictate a lot.
Yeah.
So that was part of it. But yeah, look, there is a sense crowds are falling, people are a bit, ugh.
Yeah.
They're watching teams go back and forth across the halfway line, hand passing all day.
Yeah. No, I get it. I get it. I think with Dublin going for the five and maybe like the two early defeats might make it interesting for, you know what I mean? I'm sure they will feel that little bit of pressure now.
There'll be a heightened atmosphere at all those Dublin games
exactly.
now, which will be good.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I suppose when you're inside a camp, you're as a player, you're always enjoying it, you know? But yeah, no, for us so far, maybe it hasn't clicked for us. But in terms of chances created, we feel that we're nearly ready to let loose. You know, just kind of relax and just let the shackles off. And we feel we're close to that. And and again, from being on the pitch, there's opportunities there.
And do you like watching football?
I do. Yeah, I really enjoyed the Kerry Dublin game the other night. I think it was played the right way. Well, it was fast. It was tough. Even the execution, it's all basics. Like, I think that's the thing about Kerry Dublin. They don't do anything out of the ordinary or sense. It's all simple stuff.
Done really well. Was the New York football experience enjoyable?
It was. It was different. If we had a couple more weeks, I think it took time maybe to understand what it took. Mm. And then it was a case of, if we had to play the game, maybe it was a realization that, oh yeah, we could win here, no problem.
It was Leitrim people, just to jog people's memory. New York were 6 or 7 points up in that game, weren't they? And lost by a point.
We were always comfortable, and we just wouldn't push on. We were missing maybe a couple of chances. Once we were 5-6 up, we got too comfortable.
There you are, there in your kit for people who are watching as opposed to listening. It's a cool kit, the New York kit.
It is, yeah. listen, it was disappointing, to be honest, not to get over the line.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I suppose when you're in those games, like, you don't want to be saying, oh, he's had a go.
I don't know if you were aware of it back here, but there was a real. It was on people. People had marked their card early.
Right.
That there was the potential for a shock here.
Right, okay.
You know, it's Leitrim, it's early on, you and others were out there, so this was a strong New York team by other years in comparison to the... A lot of people were actually really looking out for this game. It was being talked about all week, you know? And you gave it a good rattle.
I think the big thing from that point of view is that guys aren't there ultimately to play at that level, you know?
Yeah.
So it can be difficult.
Would you train as hard?
We trained a lot, but it's trying to get numbers out all the time, like, because boys are still working in the bar in the evenings.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's, you're maybe missing key personnel to work on certain things. So a lot of it was nearly off the cuff at times, and you kind of just had to play a lot of it with your heart in your sleeve during the game.
And does that not cut it anymore?
It proved that it didn't, you know.
So would you have a fairly rigid might be kind of the wrong word, because it suggests it's constricting you. But would you have a rigid enough game plan with Armagh? You'd know when you get the ball.
I think at a subconscious level, now that's there. So you know what I mean. You already know what those. So now it's about playing, and I think what was happening in during the New York game is that we were doing it early on, but when we stopped doing the things we were supposed to do, whether it was getting the ball over the 45 in a certain amount of time, then once that stopped, there could have been a turnover, and you could see what was causing, you know, the mistakes was by not following what we were supposed to do. So,
right, okay. And so would most teams have, unconsciously or otherwise, have those things in their head, like get the ball over the 45 in a certain amount of time from build-up?
I would say a lot of teams play exactly the same way and have their own, because...
Their own quirks in it. Can you tell me what are the keystones, the cornerstones of
even just the way teams try and set up and keep possession. whether it's certain levels in the pitch,
yeah.
whether it's probing teams, like it's not hard. I personally don't see it as difficult as the spot, to be honest. But
well, go on.
It's just how good teams do it.
So what are the patterns you're seeing then?
Well, just even the way a player running numbers, the way players cut, their shot selection, their accuracy. Like teams are, if you look at Dublin, like Brian Fenton's strike the other night, with his last shot. Mm-hmm. I think that's his shot, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So it's
no coincidence.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's you can see the patterns of where players mm-hmm. are shooting from. Mm-hmm. Certain angles of the pitch that they're getting it from. So it's just about other teams adapting to that and spotting us and trying to better it as well, you know.
Mm.
I think a big thing now is percentages and score ratios. So, in the past, you could have got away with it by missing a lot of chances and maybe getting a goal. Mm. Now everything has to be.
Because I was reading a piece a while back, and it seems a lot of the teams are working off the same data. Rob Carroll has been at the forefront of gathering a lot, but teams have worked out they might get 40 to 50 possessions a game. And then you need to score maybe in the region of 19, 20 points. Andy Moran says you have to score more than 20 to beat Dublin, but we'll put Dublin aside for a second. So you're looking for, you know, 19, 20 points, 46 possessions. You're going to have X number of wides.
Yeah.
So actually, the piece I was reading made the point that one of the reasons we're seeing long periods of monotonous possession is that teams feel, well, if we have the ball, this is one of our valuable possessions.
Yeah.
We have to get a shot off one way or another.
Yeah.
That seems to be what's going on in the heads of a lot of teams, as opposed to, oh, I've got a ball.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd love to just drill one in there because there's half a sniff of a chance.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So that seems to be governing thought.
Exactly, but I think we can all have a game, was it Mike Tyson said, we all have a plan until we're punched in the face.
Yeah.
So it's like there are moments in games where those opportunities might arise and a team could take it and it could change the whole dynamic of the game, you know.
You see, you strike me as a player who will go off script and take that chance if they see an opening.
I think it's important for players to be allowed, and I think most teams are allowed to have their marquee forwards, whatever, in a certain area of the pitch, try things.
Yeah.
As long as if the ball goes dead, it's fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can reset. But again, I think that's where games are won. You know, if you look at Conor Callaghan the other night as well, you know that.
Go for it sometimes.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
It's again, it's about being able to play to your game plan, but still having your own identity to express yourself.
A bit of heads up football, reacting to what you're seeing. And are you a fan then of teams pressing up on kickouts?
Well, I'd be a fan of man-to-man all the time, but it doesn't happen.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
I think it's better. It's more of a pressurized game. It's,
as opposed to letting them have the ball and build.
Yeah,
it always strikes me as crazy. I know.
But it is, when you're on the field, it is hard to, because the ball mightn't be over the bar and guys are setting up for the short kick out, you know what I mean? So it's...
Yeah. I guess there's opportunities. If you have a free
and
you know it's going to be dead, everybody...
Yeah.
Like Kerry really did it against Dublin a couple of years ago and I think it's been mimicked. They'd have a free, everybody knew it was going to go dead.
Yeah.
So they were all ready to press
before
even the free was taken.
Exactly, yeah.
Don't let Dublin set and get going first.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just about being innovative and trying to get that step ahead all the time, you know?
Yeah. And then finally, you're playing lacrosse as well at the moment, are you?
The guys are back pre-season at the minute. Obviously, the county boys aren't involved.
So will you see much across McGlen?
The league, I think, is maybe April, May. So it's... they're going well.
April is club month, of course.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But like Aaron Kiernan's there. He's kind of a huge role model within the club.
Yeah, still playing away. Still.
Yeah, he does a lot of work between strength and conditioning and just making sure the boys are on the right track, which is great, you know what I mean? And he keeps them at that level that the club need to get back to as well. So I think there's that new breed of player coming through that are ready to, you know, go at us in the club championship next year.
Well, listen, it's great to chat to you. I think I speak for everyone when I say I'm thrilled you're back playing football. you know.
I appreciate that.
Not at the expense of the rest of your life, obviously, but it's great that, I mean, you're one of those players people will tune in, and if you're playing, I'll stick with this game, is a thought that I have. And then best of luck with the new venture. Come in and talk to us when it's all done.
For sure, yeah.
Will I be reading in 8 months' time, Clark returns to New York kind of headline, or who knows? Do you have any firm plans?
Business trip, maybe.
Okay.
But no, the plan is to see out the career with Armagh, however long that may be.
Okay. Best of luck with it. Thanks a million for coming in.
Cheers, Joe.
Off the ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.